bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Jamie Locker, we are live from Winnipeg, Manitoba, the 112th Grey Cup. And usually we kick off the show with the starting lineup. Today we kick off the show with the president and CEO of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I got a little chills right there hearing Bring 'Em Out, thinking about what's ahead. I don't think you can actually play that song for Grey Cup Sunday, but how's the pre? What are we? We're like 48 hours away, just over 48 hours away, Craig. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, it's great to be here, guys. Excited for sure. Excited for our fans. You know, I didn't ask if we could play Bring 'Em Out. Maybe I should get on the horn here and
yeah,
make that happen in short order here. But just excited. But I have to say it's I've never had a week fly by so quickly. Like, personally, it's just flown by. I can't believe it's already Friday here. It's great. Now the fans are starting to arrive, so we're starting to get those interactions. But just so excited for our fans to be able to be here and play that game on Sunday.
Any nerves, Craig?
Not yet. Honestly, Locker,
okay.
Like, it will. It'll kick in. Usually for me, it's like the day before.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But I think what's happened is we had a pretty good plan because we've been in four of the last six West Finals. So we had to build a plan. Like, if you win, what do you do? Like, what do you need to trigger a whole bunch of things. So we had a pretty good plan, but you don't know what you don't know. And
yeah.
So once we got here, you know, you're just in scramble mode and answering a million questions and trying to make sure every, you know, the players, first and foremost, that our players and their families are taken care of.
Yeah.
And so it's been so incredibly busy, and I just want to shout out my team. Have done just incredible work taking care of our players and their families and our football ops, just to make sure that the team's routine isn't changed that much so they can be their best on Sunday.
Yeah. Craig Reynolds, CEO, President, joining us live from FanFest ahead of the 112th Grey Cup. Craig, I know you want to look at it as a wider Rough Rider perspective, but I asked the same question to Jeremy O'Day. The amount of the heat and lumps you both took in 2022, 2023, to be here now, what's it mean to you that the board said, Craig, we believe you can get it done? And you said to Jeremy, I believe you can get it done, and here you are.
Yeah, you just had immense trust in Jeremy. And you know, honestly, like, Jeremy haven't talked, and I haven't talked about this at all, and I just think about our fans, and I'm being sincere with that. I just want this for our fans. I want this so bad for our fans. We have such amazing fans. They're so loyal. They're so passionate. And just the support we've got the last, you know, couple years has just been incredible. And the energy and just, you know, the vibe in the province. And so honestly, that's where, you know, at some point I might reflect on it personally.
Yeah.
But I haven't, in all honesty, I haven't yet. I'm very happy for Jeremy. I'm so happy for so many people in our organization because you know, a lot of them haven't experienced this. And so really, really happy for Jeremy, proud of the work he's done, you know, proud of our players, proud of our entire organization, but just really excited for our fan base.
When you're hosting an event like this, there's going to be bumps in the road. You know, 100%, there's going to be things that, you know, that you didn't anticipate, those unforeseen things. And I know you're here as, you know, representing the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but you also have to host a Grey Cup in a couple of years. So I'm guessing that it's a bit of a fact-finding mission as well. And just out of curiosity, you've been here a couple of days now. How is Winnipeg doing?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, I have to admit, the first couple of days I've been just kind of holed up in meeting rooms and just trying to deal with the logistics of having the team here.
Yeah.
So today's the first day I kind of walked around and saw the fan fest here and the family fest, and this is really good. I took a ton of pictures here. I know our CFO was just here, Kent Paul, and he took a ton of pictures here too. So yeah, it's, you know, we are hosting right away, so you are doing double duty. You're here representing your team. You're in the game, but you're also thinking about, you know, we got to host in 2 years. So what can we learn from
100%,
yeah. So, you know, they have a good setup here with the Family Fest for sure. You know, I haven't spent much time in the RBC Convention Center, but that is a nice facility, much like we have outstanding facilities in Regina. So trying to pick up what we can. We've learned some things already. It's confirmed some things we're already thinking, too, that we might do a little bit differently or some things we might try to replicate.
Okay.
And so you do take ideas, and we've got a lot of people here, obviously, you know, from our organization because we're in it. So that's to our advantage because they can take notes and pictures, and we could debrief much later on.
Yeah. Craig, this team, I have a tough time putting into words the character of this group, how I feel this week. It's very business-like. They're excited, of course, to be here, but can you try to put it into words on what you have seen? Because this team I always say, it's different. And they go, how? It's just different. To the way they act towards the media and their interviews, and they conduct
to each other.
It is, like CJ Rivas said, there was a divide in that locker room a few years ago. It was bad. And he's like, it's like 180 from there. So what is it about this team?
Yeah, if I had to say one word, it'd probably be like togetherness. I've never seen a group like this. Like, it's so, again, so sincere when they say they love each other and they're playing for each other. And you hear that all the time. But you hear that with teams that get to this level, that there is a togetherness and a love for each other in the locker room. They're playing for the guy next to them. I know those all sound like cliches, but they're not in this case.
And you can't try to force it.
No,
either.
You can't.
It
you
has
can't
to be authentic.
To be like that. It's very authentic. And, you know, and I think they've also taken on a bit of their coach's personality, right?
Yeah. So we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, he's extremely calm. Like, it's interesting. Like, even the tail end of that game, I, you know, it was pandemonium and for myself and 33,000 others. But I rewatched that game, the fourth quarter, when I got home, or on Sunday, and I just watched Corey, and I'm like, he was so cool, calm. And you just could tell the team took that persona on, marched down there, scored that game-winning touchdown to send us to the Grey Cup. So they've taken on a bit of Corey's personality, and also the business-like mentality, too, Jamie, you're mentioning. I was a little surprised in the locker room afterwards, because I was a bit in shock, but I was just, you know, so excited for so many people. But it was very businesslike. It was celebratory, but not much more than the win on Labor Day or a regular season win. And the message was, we got one more, right? And I just was like, oh, this is different. Like, they're not celebrating this necessarily right now. They probably are in their own way, but they're going to Winnipeg to, you know, on a business trip.
Well, the audio coming back, like, usually they're music blaring and stuff like that. It was not.
Yeah.
They're scared to celebrate in front of Corey.
Yeah. Well, he was like, I don't want to pour cold water on this, but we got one more game to win, boys. Yeah. Yeah. So
no, it's only thing that was different was they kind of went away from giving game balls. But then Jamarcus spoke. And, like, Jamarcus was the right guy to speak, right? Like, they even know who should deliver this message. Well, Jamarcus has been there, and he's been to Grey Cups. He knows what it takes.
Yeah.
And so it's just that, too. Like, they know, you know, Trevor obviously, you know, spoke, but he knew, let's let Jamarcus speak here, right? And it's just, this team is special.
He's got a feel, right?
Corey's
got a feel.
Corey has a feel.
It's uncanny.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. He just knows what they need, when they need it, when they need to be torn down in a practice and sent off the field to recalibrate, or when to, you know, hug him up and those types of things. But I just need to ask, when he went for the field goal on the 5-yard line, what does the president think of that play?
So, and you can confirm this with Jeremy. Confirm this, Jeremy. And I'll tell you, this is an insider story. So I was with Jeremy at the time. And we didn't have an argument, but he's like, you know, he's like, oh, we're kicking a field goal. And I said, I like that, Jeremy. I said, we got to win the game. I said, let's get the points. We'll get the ball back and we'll score. Then we get the ball back and we punt. And then I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I might be wrong here. Like, I might have been wrong in my thinking here. But
well, just so you know, I was in the stands and no one was questioning it at all.
Yeah, I'm sure. But so I was initially excited because I thought, okay, this gives us a chance to win the game. Because that's the point. The point is to win the game. But then again, when we punted, I was just like, uh-oh. Like, Matt, now we've got to get the ball back. And this doesn't look quite like it did when we had 2 minutes left, right?
Yeah.
So,
But what a drive.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
my
yeah.
goodness.
I want to talk a little bit about it looks like a bunch of coaching dominoes are going to fall here over the next little while. Are you worried about maybe, I mean, with the group that you built, you've assembled this really strong, this tight group. You're going to have eyes on this organization from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, coaches and players, Jeremy and I were talking about that. You know, when you start to have success, that's what happens. You know, everybody looks towards the teams that are currently having success and sometimes target. What I've been really happy with is obviously extending Jeremy and Corey was a big deal, a really big deal, and I was really glad we got that done. And then I talked a little bit earlier about this camaraderie and togetherness, and I think there's a lot of that in the locker room from a player perspective, but certainly with that coaching staff are very, very tight. That whole football ops staff is very, very, very tight. So I'm hopeful you know, that this group can stick together. Getting Corey and Jeremy locked in is really, really important, I think. I think there's a camaraderie there. They generally enjoy going to work with each other.
Will you be able to sit and watch the Grey Cup, or are you going to be pacing for 3.5 hours?
Yeah, so I half pace, half sit. So I sit for a bit. And then I just have to stand up and I have to pace a little bit. I'm being completely transparent here. I have not had time to think about the game. There's just been so many things and somebody was asking me about that. And I said, I think Saturday there's a little break in my schedule. I'm like, Saturday will probably be the first time I start thinking about the game.
Yeah.
But I've never been in this situation before in this role. I've been in it, you know, obviously with the organization several times. And I know how I felt there. But I also know every game's different for me now in this role. So there'll be a lot of pacing. I don't know if it comes down to the wire, like the last 1 minute, like the West Final did. I don't know how my old heart can take that. But
I don't know if I could take it.
Yeah. I don't know if Saskatchewan could take it, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll cross that. When you come to it,
that's been my prediction all week that it's going to be.
It's going to be a rouge that wins it. That's what he's been saying.
That's not me. To honor the last year of a missed field goal rouge about the back of the end zone. Yeah, hopefully not.
Well, as long as that rouge is our rouge, I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm wondering with the role that you have with this team, you're constantly evolving. Is there one thing this year or in the last couple of years that you've been doing differently? That may, from your perspective, from your chair, may have helped progress this team forward in a positive light?
That's a good question, Walker. I'm trying to think if there's one. I think this year we were more action-oriented. This is more on the fan side.
Yeah.
It was enough, let's not talk about this or analyze things we want to do to improve the fan experience. Let's just do it. Let's just do it right now. Let's be very action oriented. And so I think that's been really good on the I'll call it just the fan experience. And you know, tailgating is a good example of that too. Like we've heard this for a couple of years now. It's number one thing. I'm going to go talk to the premier and see if there's an openness to this, because let's get going on this. And so it probably isn't a football answer. What has got us to the great?
It didn't need to be a football.
Yeah, no. But it's. I think just in general, it's like, let's get this done. And you know, that's kind of how the team's been too this year, right? Like Trevor said several times, it's our time. Like it's kind of like, let's get this done. Like we got close last year, and it's time, right? So, yeah.
Have you seen Amar Doman this week?
I have not. I have not. I will see him, though, but I have not seen him yet. I saw Dwayne Bonneau.
Jamie's got something to pass on to him.
Can you just, like, roll up your sleeve and go, Omar, this is an elbow, and then have a football and go, this is a football? No, okay. But the Riders are here. They're in the 112th Grey Cup, and you got an interesting 51 hours ahead of you, Craig. I know you're excited to get to Riderville opened up last night, but more music and stuff like that. There's a lot more green around today.
There is. I've been noticing a lot of green today.
Saskatchewan's definitely here. This is awesome.
They're rolling in.
Yeah, they are. No, I'm excited, guys, and I can't believe it's only 51 hours when you say it like that, JB. Maybe it is time for the nerves to start kicking in.
Well, Craig, we very much appreciate you joining us here. I know you have a busy schedule over the next few hours and days. Best of luck to you,
thank you,
and the team on Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you. Really appreciate you guys.
That is Craig Reynolds, CEO and president of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We are live from Fan Fest during the 112th Grey Cup Sunday, the Green Zone pregame show at 3. 5 o'clock, of course, you can catch the game on TSN. It's the Rough Riders and the Montreal Alouettes as the Riders try to add their space, by the way, Craig. Their space. I've noticed on the stadium there's space for a fifth and a sixth Grey Cup
there is
logo.
I've noticed that as well.
Championship. Time to fill that gap this week. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you live from Fan Fest in Winnipeg, Manitoba for the 112th Grey Cup. It's Grey Cup Friday. We got to get to another Locker on the Loose here. What was your topic of conversation?
Last night I went to Ryderville and asked a number of people what they thought of the CFL rule changes, Jamie and I. And like I said to Evan earlier.
And I'm sure they were just jumping for joy going, can't wait.
Say this, and this is going to shock you. There were numerous opinions.
That actually does not surprise me one bit. We are live from Winnipeg, Manitoba, the 112th Grey Cup, Jamie and Locker. As you just heard, that breaking news from our senior reporter, Lisa Schick, with the verdict in the case of the death of Misha Pavlik. Of course, Lisa will have more from the courtroom throughout the afternoon here on CJME and CKOM. We bring you the latest from Winnipeg, and today, Locker, is a day where the commissioner proves yet again he hates the media. Why does he hate the media? Because he makes us wake up at 7:30 in the morning on Grey Cup week to come to his news conference. And ask him questions.
I was surprised. I saw you both this morning. I saw Britton and I saw you. And I was, I'll say, shocked. Your ability, I think, to do what you do on the lack of sleep is remarkable. I was saying this earlier to our boss. They need to study you. You need to be an experiment. Yeah, I bring in some doctors.
It's not just... Grey Cup week, though. I train for this.
No, I know you do.
All year long, yeah. I train for this. A lot of work and
Britton,
no sleep. I train
although,
for this
Britton,
all the time.
Britton did look like he fought in the parking lot for like a couple
he's,
of hours.
Hey, he's a rookie. He's battling. That's for sure. But Stuart Johnston held his State of the League address, and he had a lot of exciting numbers out there for the State of the League address.
Love numbers. Here we go.
Scoring, the highest since 2017. You had completion percentage, the highest in league history among quarterbacks. Parity, some of the best regular season growth for ratings and attendance are up. Game day revenues up 5%. Everything is great in the Canadian Football League. 35% increase in social media interactions. TikTok was up 200%. Our TikTok's up 5,000%. So there, because when you go to
we're on
zero
the TikTok
to something, yes, growth on CFL.ca has increased. Digital products, they saw the fourth straight year of growth for their fan engagement. So a lot of good things going on.
A lot of
on
conversation
the
about
league.
The growth of the league digitally.
Absolutely.
With apps and that kind of a thing,
well,
too.
Today he made the announcement that in 2026 there will be a new CFL website, there will be new team websites, and in 2026, they have jumped into the 21st century, the CFL. There will be an app for the Canadian Football League, and there will be fantasy football for the Canadian Football League. Stuart Johnston with so much good news today. And then, of course, he opened it up to questions, and it was all about the rule changes that he announced in May. Although, during his opening news conference, he did say this about his announcement earlier on in the season
September.
About the rule changes a couple of months ago. Oh, one second. I need to plug the audio into my laptop so you can hear Stuart Johnson. This is what he had to say.
There is one thing I want to clarify. When we announced those rule changes, I did not do enough to emphasize something very important: our unwavering commitment to the Canadian game. So let me be clear. We are three downs, 12 players, unlimited motion, 65 yards wide, in huge end zones. These rules are not going anywhere.
There you go. These rules are not going anywhere.
No talk, no conversation about the ratio?
Does he guarantee that?
3 months ago, you asked me to guarantee. I answered in a way that I answer my kids. I say, hey, there are no guarantees in life. What I should have said is that not only am I guaranteeing that we are a three-down game, I can guarantee that it never crossed our minds anything other than that.
So, Stuart Johnston making it clear, three downs, 12 players, 65 yards, unlimited motion. These are the things they believe are the Canadian Football League.
The uniqueness of
it's not where the field goal posts are or what how many lines are on the field. It's three downs. It's unlimited motion. It is 12 players. Those are the key tenets to the Canadian Football League that he does not want to change. He says the Board of Governors don't want to change. So does that make you feel better? I'm asking football fans, does that make you feel better? Because there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there who want to believe that Stuart Johnston wants to merge with the National Football League and turn this game into four-down football and
that came up a
go
lot last
to
night.
The United States.
It is not our objective. When it comes to expansion, I've often been asked that question. And I've said, while it's not a top priority, I've outlined what my three top priorities of the league office are. While it's not a top priority, of course, it's incredibly important. We would love to have a 10th team in this league. But when I say 10th team, I mean a Canadian 10th team. That is our focus.
So, does that make you feel better, conspiracy theorists, that Stuart Johnston and the Board of Governors want to Americanize the Canadian Football League? Because what I heard today was someone who was enthusiastically telling you, the football fans, that that is not their mission at all. That is not it.
From Kirk, scoring up, passing up, attendance up, revenue up, growth up, parity in the league, all-time high. Why are you messing with something that isn't broken? He might end up dealing with that moving forward now.
Absolutely. Fair question. Right? Why? And it is the footprint of the field. Because they've made the changes, they can go to Quebec City, potentially.
There is no doubt Quebec City is an incredible football market. You see what they've done with the Rougeaux. They have a fan base there for the game of football, which is impressive. It's a great population base, and I'm excited about that as one of the potentials for expansion.
So that is one of the things. When you look at Stuart Johnston of the Canadian Football League talking about the rule changes and everything else in the CFL, that you can tell. He's like, trust me, we are not, there's no behind-the-scenes evil powers that want to go to the United States. Do you believe them? Do you trust that? That's all this will come down to. Do you trust Stuart Johnston and the Board of Governors? Because I know the guy that was just here, I trust Craig. I trust Craig Reynolds. I trust Wade Miller. I trust those guys to go. Jay McNeil, the president of the Calgary Stampeders, I trust them to go, This is what we're doing. This is Canadian football. It's exciting. And the game, all these things, that the entertainment and all that stuff, that's not going to change by getting rid of the 55-yard line. That has no impact on anything, really.
Last
getting
night,
rid of the 55-yard
when
line.
When I was at Ryderville, the team parties, and I was doing my locker on the loose, and I was asking people about the CFL rule changes, that came up, right? it was brought up. All the conspiracy theories, everything was brought up. And I think there was I'm glad Stu alluded to maybe the missteps that he made at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And I think what happened was, I think he thought he was doing something for the league. I think in his mind, he was helping the league and making the changes that needed to be made. I don't think he realized
his mistake,
the backlash that it,
if there's a mistake, is because he kept that group so small,
yeah,
and that talked about this, that they were all in it, right? They were like, oh, there's this analytical note, and oh, that, oh, yeah, let's do that, and we can move the field goal post back, and that'll pressure the coaches to not punt as much and go for it. We think that'll be a good thing. Yeah, 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 that's a good thing, that's a good thing. And the one thing they didn't do,
yeah,
was have anybody go, I don't know, guys. And when they released it to everybody, they had thousands go, what are you doing? And then nobody in that group went, what are we doing? And that was an issue. That was, and he found that out quickly.
Yes.
And I think he regrets that. Well, he said, I regret it. I should have understood what was going to happen. And be assertive that three down football isn't going anywhere, and we have zero interest in changing that.
What he did this morning is he highlighted the things that are untouchable. These are the elements of the game that we're going to protect. Now, did he talk about ratio?
I did bring it up just for you. I just for you, Locker. Ask about the designated nationalized American, and will have they have any conversations with the Canadian Football League Players Association on rule changes?
Well, I'll start by saying I've really enjoyed developing the relationship with the CFLPA. My relationship has grown with David Mackey and Solomon over the last 7 months. And we talk about a range of subjects. The ratio is not one of them. We have a CBA that's in place through till 2029. That's baked into the CBA. I've talked about the Canadian talent and how successful our Canadian talent's been. I'm thrilled about that. And I'm sure as we approach 2029, all aspects of that CBA will come under discussion.
Can I just qualify?
So you're going to have to wait a little bit because the ratio's not
it's not going anywhere. I want to qualify what I want to change. I want them to clean up the rule. Have a Canadian roster rule. So half the roster needs to be Canadian.
The way I asked the question
play everybody
this.
The way you want to play them. Well, defense, offense, it doesn't matter.
I said you have the most convoluted rule in professional sports, needing somebody to stand there and count the amount of snaps that a designated national.
Well, and the
is there any thought to clarify? Is this a goal to clarify this within the ratio? And, of course, you said that has to be negotiated by the CFLPA and, you know, don't want to touch
it's
the
coming.
Ratio, but.
I'm sticking to my guns on that one.
There you go. So sorry, Locke. I asked.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There was also a question. This one's for Darrell Davis on the replay center and trying to make that quicken up.
Game flow is critically important. I think every league in the world of similar nature, not just football, is trying to simplify that type of process. And I know at the winter meetings in January, we will go over how do we keep the excellence of what we do, but simplify the process and move that game flow faster.
There you have it. He should stand in the replay center as the commissioner every game and go, hurry up. That's what is
I wonder
in the
if
background.
He's been in there.
He has. He did say today
did
he's
he?
Been
okay.
in there, and he said it's amazing the communication. And then he's like, I just want to also say I didn't say anything. I stood in the back and kept my mouth shut. I didn't say anything while the games were on, or they didn't turn around and ask me if it's a complete. He was like, I didn't do anything other than observe as the commissioner of the Canadian Football League.
So let's give him a grade and try to take away the fact that he made you get up at 7 o'clock this morning.
Okay, if
How
we're going on a scale, Jeffrey Orgeat was an F. His first one was an absolute. I went to the back of the room and talked to CFL people. And they were like, it's bad when the people asking the questions know more about the game and what's going on than the guy answering the questions. Like, that was an F. Randy, he was a lot of word salad.
came from Randy Ambrosi. Like, just likable.
Likable. I liked Randy.
Mark Cohan is going to be the A+ all day long. So I'd give a strong B plus
to Stu?
To Stuart Johnston.
There we go.
I actually said it to him afterwards. I was like, for your first go, that was pretty darn impressive. And he's like, well, it helps I've been in this room for these on the other side of it as the president of TSN watching. So I think he handled himself well. Now, I need to know if anybody knows anybody who went to the event with the commissioner for the fans, I want to know how that went this morning.
Oh, yeah. If you're listening and you have, please text us.
If you have sources on who was in that room, I'd love to know how the fans treated Commissioner Johnston, because
he looked a little more stressed in that one from some of the video clips that I've seen than he did from the media one.
I can
877-332-8255.
All righty, we continue here from FanFest here on the Green Zone. The VIPs are arriving, including Darren from Roche Percy. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.